right, let's hold up our Bibles if you have them. The Bible says of itself that it always goes forth and accomplishes that which God has intended for it to accomplish. And God, this morning, I know your intention is for us to begin to see ourselves the way that you see us. God, I pray over this word today as we open it. I pray that the words that I speak to this congregation today and those watching us online, God, will not just be hearing it for someone else, but God, they'll be hearing it for themselves. We open our hearts to hear you. Receive your word today with joy in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I think we have it on the screen. Do we? There it is. And we know, well, I know we love this verse too, a lot of you. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and have been called. I want you to underline, if you have your Bibles, underline the word called according to his purpose. Now turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Paul, again, wrote Romans. He's written Ephesians. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Again, underline the word called. The riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Not the New Orleans saints. The saints of God. The holy people of God. That's you, by the way. You don't have to perform a certain number of this or that. The Bible says that you, God's people, are the saints. Amen? And in verse 19, in his incomparably great power for us to believe, who believe, that same power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. How many of you have ever heard the term, you have been called by God? If you've ever heard the term, raise your hand. Now you have a calling of God on your life. How many of you sometimes think that term is a little cliche? Brother, you got a calling on your life. Sometimes I say that to people, and I don't even like saying it because it seems like just the thing to say, but I want you to understand that you, yeah, and even you guys over there, you've been called by God. My wife used to say when she was in Catholic school growing up, she said the nuns would tell them that there was a couple of different callings. Three callings. One was to be a nun. The other one was to be married, and the third one was to be single. And my wife was like, "Please don't call me." She didn't want to be called to be a nun. Thank God she didn't. We have a call on our lives. Guys, you have to get that through your head. A calling of God is not just for the pastor. It's not just for the worship leaders. It's not just for our youth pastor or our children. Every one of us has a call of God on your life to reach this world for Jesus. Amen? Every one of us. Now, how many of you know that you're called? Raise your hand if you know you're called. Not nearly enough of you raising your hand. How many of you are happy about the fact that you're called? All right, a little better. How many of you are kind of scared? I don't like that. Like Peggy, don't call me. The calling of God can have multiple effects on people depending on your perception of who God is. Your calling can also be affected by who you think you are. And finally, what you think that God wants to do in your life and through your life. The size and magnitude of God's call, or the things that you've heard from God in the Spirit, can begin to determine whether or not you're ready to accept the call or not. I want you to know that every time I've heard the call of God on my life, when I heard it as a new believer over 20 years ago, it was way bigger than I ever expected. It was way bigger. The first step was even too big. But I never wavered from taking the step because I knew I had heard the voice of God. Listen, when you've heard the voice of the Lord, you'll do what you know He wants you to do. You know why? Because you know that God is good and He only wants good for your life. Look at your neighbor and tell him you're called. Listen, before you were born, the God of the universe had your name written in a book, and next to your name was your specific calling. I'm going to prove it to you in a minute. You say, I don't believe that. Now, the beauty and tragedy of that statement is that although God has plans for our lives, we have a choice. We have a say in the matter. Will we be used by God or not? We get to choose. I could have listened to that voice over 20 years ago and said, nope, not me, wrong guy. Pick somebody else. I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing. I'm pretty happy right here. I'm doing well financially. Like, life is good. Leave me alone. Or we go, I give up. I surrender, and I'm going to go where you want me to go and do what you want me to do. No questions asked. We get to do one or the other. And some of us try to do it like this. We try to do it with one foot in and one foot out. Listen, you can't serve God one foot in and one foot out. You're either all in or you're all out. There's no halfway. Now, without a proper understanding of who God is, what God is really like, what does God think about me, and how does He want to use me can all affect your view of God's calling. Today, I want to teach you some things about your calling in life. I want to teach you some things that are vital to you receiving the calling and beginning to walk in your calling. You can turn, if you have your bulletin right there. Yvette had trouble fitting all 8 points there on the front. She had to make it real small, so if you have seeing problems like I do for small print, you're going to have problems with that. But I'm going to try to be as specific as I can and clear as I can today so that by the end of this, you see yourself in God's calling and God's calling in you. Amen? 8 truths I need you to know about my life's calling. Number one, say, my calling is a gift from God. Your calling is a gift. Your calling is a gift. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 says, I am astonished, Paul writing again, that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. In other words, that these people in Galatia were rejecting the gospel, the good news, and beginning to do things a different way. So I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you in to live in this grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. And in 2 Timothy 1:9, again, Paul writing, he says this, He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. His call is a gift from God. The word grace, as used there in both of those passages, Galatians 1 and 2 Timothy 1, is the Greek word charis, C-H-R-I-S. And that word simply means gift. That God's gift to you is this calling on your life. God has called you, and His calling is a gift to you. His calling is not there so you can brag to others. Look at my calling. I got a calling. You got one? Well, I don't know what it is. Well, I know what mine is. And look at mine's better than yours. And our gift's not there so we can compare our calling. Well, I got the gift to preach. Well, I just got the gift of hospitality. Listen, one is as important as the other. Don't negate somebody else's calling because it's not your calling. And don't envy somebody else's calling because it's not your calling. You got to walk in your calling. Your calling is a gift. Not only is it a gift to you, but it's also a gift to others. You know that there's somebody out there, probably people you've already met, people you've already encountered. There are people that you're going to encounter that without your gift being exercised and used within the body of Christ and in the context of your life will never know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. There may be people that will die and go to hell without you using your gift. I don't know about you, but I'm not comfortable with that. I don't want anybody should perish. Jesus said, I came to seek and save all who are lost in sin. And I want to do just what he did. I want to seek and save all I can. Now, I can't possibly reach them all, but me and you together, we can do more together than I can apart. And together, all of us banded together can go out there and really make an impact on this community. Amen? Amen. Say this, my calling is a gift from God. I want you to remember that. Number two, I'm called for God's purpose. Listen, Romans chapter 9, verse 9. For God has promised, I will return. I want you to listen to the whole thing because it's important. I will return about this time next year and Sarah will have a son. This is Paul talking about God speaking to Abraham and Sarah. This son was our ancestor Isaac. When he married Rebekah, she gave birth to twins. But before they were born, before they had done anything good or bad, she received a message from God. This message shows that God chooses people according to his own purpose. He calls people, in verse 12, but not according to their good or bad works. She was told, your older son will serve your younger one. Now listen, before these boys were born, God had a specific calling on their life. Before you were born, there was a specific calling on your life to do a certain thing in the kingdom of God and in a certain context. And without you doing it, God's got to go find somebody else. I'm called for God's purpose. Ephesians 2:10, our theme verse, by the way, for the year, Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Listen, God's plan and purpose for your life has been there since before you ever were. Listen, in advance, before you were, God knew you had a plan and a purpose for your life, a calling, right? Your calling is not necessarily for you. It is for God to use you in this life. Now, we think this life is all about me. I'm here to do what I want. People write songs about that. I did it my way, right? Frank Sinatra said that I did it. Elvis sang it. I did it my way. Bon Jovi said, it's my life, right? I can do what I want. Listen, we got to quit thinking that way and start thinking God thoughts. God thoughts are this. God, I want to do it your way. Anybody tried their way? It didn't work? I tried my way for a long time. 35 years I tried my way. My way I kept skinning my knees and bumping my hiney on the ground, figuratively speaking. And you know what I figured? I don't have this thing figured out at all. But all of a sudden, I met this person, Jesus. And when I met Jesus, my life began to take on purpose and meaning that I never knew existed. It had a plan. God had a plan. I never dreamed 20 years ago that one day I would start a church in my friend's living room, and 10 years later, we would be building a beautiful facility together as a church, and we would be reaching this community and teaching this community for Jesus. Never dreamed it. Never dreamed it. But God. Can you say, but God? Listen, we all have plans and we all have ideas of what the future holds for us, but God. Who knew? But God. Listen, and God has that same plan and purpose for your life. And listen, what I'm telling you, it probably looks nothing like what you want. One day you have to resign yourself to the fact, I'm either going to continue to do it my way or I'm going to do it his way, but you can't have both. Number three. God chose my calling before I was born. Galatians 1:15 says, but when God, who set me apart, this is Paul talking again, from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. Listen, Paul was a Pharisee, a religious leader of his day. He thought he was doing what God had designed him to do until he met Jesus. And all of a sudden, Jesus turned his path in a different direction, and he began to do something he never thought he would do. Listen, I did something 20 years ago, made a step for Jesus, and I've done things in the last 20 years that I never dreamed I would do. Listen, if you're here today and you've heard the call of God and not responded to the call of God, trust me, the next 20 years could look a lot different for you than they have the last 20 years. Some of you might say, well, I'm only 25. All right, well, let's go back 5 years for you. When you're old, you start talking in 20-year terms. When you're young, you got to go five at a time. So just bear with me. Jeremiah 1:5, Jeremiah wrote this, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." God appointed Jeremiah. Georgia's talking to me. What, Georgia? Hi. It's my baby. God appointed Jeremiah as a prophet, a mouthpiece to his people, a mouthpiece to the nations. He did the same thing to Isaiah. He told Isaiah, "This is what the Lord says, he who made you, who formed you in the womb, and who will help you. Do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, on whom I have chosen." God has called Isaiah. He called Jeremiah. He called Paul. He's called you. You say, well, I'm not them. No, you're not. You're you. And he called them for their day, and he called you for this day. God knew your specific role in the kingdom before you were born. The problem usually lies in wanting what you want and not what God wants. We start to hear what we think God wants to do in our lives, and we say, ooh, you know, I'm not sure about that. That's okay. That's all right. We'll just let it read. I mean, it's the Bible. I mean, it's one of those days. I mean, George is talking to me. The Bible's talking to me. Yes, God, you have something you want to say? God chose your calling before you were ever born. Now, how do you find out what that calling is? You got to press in to God. You got to press into God. How do you do that? You've got to get into his word. You got to begin to pray and connect with him daily. Begin to find out, God, what is it you want for my life? And listen, and we can sit on a bench and watch life go by, or we can jump in and begin to do God what we think God's telling us to do at that moment. And you know what? It may or may not be it. But listen, you're never going to know unless you get in the game. Sitting on the sidelines, you ain't going to learn nothing. God's going to say, well, as soon as you get off that bench and decide to jump in the game, maybe I'll start to reveal some things to you. But until then, just sit there. Number four, my sins and mistakes don't change my call. Listen, some of you in here today are thinking, all those things I've done somehow disqualify me from serving God. You know what? Thank God I didn't think that. Had I thought that, none of you would be here today. You'd be in some other church somewhere, a home watching TV, or sitting in Waffle House. 1 Timothy 1:12. Paul, again, writing, says, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though," listen what he says, "I was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst, Paul said. This is the man who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament telling you, of sinners, I am the worst. Listen to me. When it came to sin, I promise you, ain't many of y'all had more than I did. And God said, no, as a matter of fact, your sins and mistakes, I'm going to use for my glory. Your sins and mistakes, I'm going to use as a testimony to what God can do. Because you would have looked at my life before and my life now, you'd have said, that's a miracle. There is no other explanation. because a man can't change like that. The test you've endured will become your testimony. The mess you thought you left will become your message. Listen, don't ever think you got to go back in your life and try to change anything. Someone asked me that question one time. Pastor, if you could go back in your life and change one mistake, which one would it be? I thought long and hard because I had a list. I had a long list. Which one? It was some big ones, you know? I said, well, maybe it was this one. Maybe it was that one. Maybe it was when I was 18 or 17. And the Lord spoke to me just quietly down in my spirit. You know what he said? None of them. I said, but Lord, you know what I've done. You were there through it all. You saw it all. He said, yes, Eddie, but all those things make you who you are, and I want you just like you are. And he's looking at somebody in here today, and he's saying, quit thinking that those mistakes and sins somehow disqualify you. I want you just like you are, right where you are in this world for today, right now, for my glory. Number five, my calling is permanent. Well, sometimes we think, ooh, what if I mess up? Maybe he's going to take it away. Romans 11:29 says, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. See that word? Irrevocable. That means that God doesn't take them away. You can't mess it up so bad that he says, well, I'm going to go ahead and move on. We're going to have to part company. I'm going to have to find somebody else to do the job. Your actions and your attitude can't take it away. Your sin can't nullify it. You can literally walk away from your calling and stay away from your calling for 20 years, and your calling will remain. Listen to me. Somebody in here this morning, you've been called. You know you've been called. You've heard the word. You put it down in your spirit. You keep rejecting it. You don't like it. It's not something you want to do. And God says it's still there. He's telling you right now, it's still there. And it's never going to go away. You know why? Because it's your calling. And until you fulfill your calling, it's not going to get fulfilled. Oh, there'll be another one like it. There'll be somebody else who'll do something like it. But only you can do the calling that God has for your life. But God, even your sin, can't remove his calling over your life. It's irrevocable. Number six. My calling is connected to others. Ephesians 4:4, listen to these words. There's one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. We are all called, but each is called to this one thing. One body, his church. One spirit, the Holy Spirit. One Lord, Jesus Christ. One faith, the Christian faith. One baptism, immersed in Christ. One God, the only true and living God, creator, sustainer of the universe. Unity in the body of Christ. Unity in our church. Unity in the faith is what God wants for us. You know the biggest problem in the Christian church today? Disunity. This used to be called, this street right out here used to be called Church Alley. Back in the day, in the 1920s and 30s, this was lined with churches. And at one time, there's a Baptist church right here, and then there's a Presbyterian church a block away, and there's a Methodist church next door, and a Catholic church a block away, and there's some other church. Anyway, lots of churches right here. We only need one. But we all got, well, I don't believe it like you. I do it my way, you do it your way. You know, they've had churches split over having an organ and not having an organ. I heard a church one time, they had an old pipe organ, been broken for years, and the board decided we're going to refurbish the pipe organ. That argument over to refurbish or not refurbish the old pipe organ caused a split in the church, and the church became two churches. I want you to know that is not God's plan for the church. God's plan for the church is unity. And if I believe that if we would come together in a spirit of unity, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, if we would come together in a spirit of unity, I believe we would see God move like we've never seen God move in our history. I promise you, this community, this region, this nation, we would see what Pastor Kevin talked about a little while ago, a revival like we've never seen if the body of Christ would come together. Psalm 133, verse 1 says, how wonderful, how beautiful when brothers and sisters live together in unity. In verse 3, go to verse 3, Nikki. It says, it's as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there, look at the word there, for there. What is the there they're talking about? There is at the place called unity. There. At the place called unity, the Lord bestows his blessing. Listen, at the place of unity is what God blesses. If we want to see more blessing of God over our lives, over our churches, over our families, over our community, over this state, over this region, over this country, then we better come together in a state of unity. Amen? No, we got the Democrats and the Republicans and this one fighting against that one, and we got blacks and white and that, and everybody's fighting against everybody, and we just got to come together, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, amen? Amen. Come on now. Amen. Your calling's connected to others. Number 7, God empowers what he calls me to do. Paul said in Ephesians 4:1, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Look at 1 Thessalonians 1:5. For when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power, for the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true. The Apostle Paul here is reminding us that when he was called and appointed as a mouthpiece to the Gentiles, he did so not only with God's mandate. When I started New Beginnings Church 10 years ago, almost 10 years ago, I didn't do so with just a word from God. I did so empowered by the Spirit of God. God doesn't call you and ask you to do anything on your own. He doesn't say, hey, here's a grand set of plans. Good luck. All right, son, good luck. Go ahead and do it on your own. No, he empowers you with his Spirit to go and do what he's called you to do. Don't think you're out there on your own. We always have to remember that his calling is going to come with a set of instructions, but it's also going to come with the power source. And the power source is what you need to make it happen. Amen? Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24 says, the one who calls you is faithful, and here is what it says, he will do it. Doesn't say you'll do it. It said, the one who called you is faithful and he will do it. Listen to me. Whatever your calling is, no matter how grand or how big you might think it is, and you probably have no idea how it's going to happen. You think I had an idea that one day New Beginnings Church would look like this from 6 people sitting in my friend's living room on a Tuesday night in June of 2010? I had no idea. But God, right? God pays for what he orders and God empowers your calling. Number 8, last but not least, there's a prize for living out my calling. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14 says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We don't walk in our calling for a prize. I don't do this because I'm expecting something when I'm finished. I don't say, hey, God, I did what you asked me to do. Now reward me. No, I do it because I have the satisfaction of knowing that I have joined together with the God of the universe to exercise his calling over my life in this world. Do you know that God has called you to join him in kingdom work, to stand next to him and be his mouthpiece on the earth? God's saying to you right now, I have called you to get together with me, you and I together, to win this world for Jesus Christ. Can you imagine the God of the universe think so highly of you that he called you? I find that rather shocking. God, you sure you got the right guy? Oh, do I have the right guy? I choose the weak things of the world to confound the wise. I choose the lowly to make the people who are uppity think, whoa, what happened there? Listen, God doesn't choose the best. He chooses the most available. And God says, I'm looking for people who are available. I'm looking for people who are willing to go where I'm asking them to go. The prize is the satisfaction of knowing that I've answered the call of God and I get to see Him change people around me every day. Amen? 8 truths you need to know about your life's calling. Your calling's a gift. You're called for God's purpose. God chose your calling before you were born. Your sins and mistakes can't change it. Your calling is permanent. Your calling is connected to others. God empowers what He calls you to do. And there's a prize for living out my calling. Would you stand with me? If you are ready to acknowledge that the call of God on your life is real, if you are ready to say, God, I realize I have a calling and I want to, if you know what it is, great. And if you don't know what it is, but you want to know what it is, awesome. Come on up to this altar and I'm going to pray that God would begin to reveal His calling over your life right now as I speak. I pray right now He's speaking into your spirit. He's beginning to download to you the questions, the answers to the questions that you had. God, I don't know how we're going to make this happen. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't have all the answers to the whys, but I have the answer to the who. And the who is you, and I know with you, anything is possible. Jesus chose 12 average Joes to go and win the world for Him when He left. Can you imagine leaving a legacy with those 12 guys? They smelled like fish. One used to steal. He was a tax collector. They were just regular nobodies. I'm not looking at a church of regular nobodies. I'm looking at a church of somebodies. Somebodies who said yes to Jesus Christ, yes to His plan, yes to His purposes, and want to go and do what He's called them to do. If that's you, raise your hand to heaven. Come on. God, here I am. I remember there's a in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah gets this vision of God in the temple. And God says to him, whom shall I send and who will go for me? And Isaiah says the words, here I am, send me. If that's you this morning, I want you to just say those words with me. Here I am, send me. God, you have heard the cry of your people. You've heard their voices, God, in unison in this place this morning. Here we are, God, send us. We have a community of people dying and going to hell. God, that doesn't sit well with us. We have families that don't know you. We have people around us that don't know you. And God, we pray that you would use us in a powerful way. God, we know we're not the best, but we know we're the most available. We know that the most available are going to be equipped to do what you've called us to do in spite of what we think about ourselves. We know that you can do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask, think, or imagine according to your power that's at work within us. So this morning, God, we give you all praise and glory for what you've done here. Now we're asking you to send us as we go in our calling in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. See you next Sunday.